Good evening and welcome to Steadfast once again on this Memorial Day Monday. I'm so glad to be with you, and I'm so glad that we get to dig into the Proverbs again as we continue our series, Proverbially Speaking. It's so good to get to explore God's Word with you and to think about wisdom. Here we are, we're at the beginning of summer. We treat Memorial Day like the official beginning of summer. It's not really, of course, but at least in our culture we do, and so there's a certain bit of summer wisdom may we bestow. We think about the different things we can do over the summer and how to enjoy the summer. Well, let's go ahead and think about how we find wisdom in our lives. And that's what we're going to do tonight as we continue in the book of Proverbs. So let's go ahead and come before our God, the bestower of all wisdom, and ask for his help, and then we'll dig in. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this evening and for your word. Thank you for guiding us. Thank you for being with us. Lord, would you help us to see how to be those who seek after wisdom every single day, not just any kind of wisdom, but your wisdom. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I think most of us regularly have the experience of going online to look for something that we need, something we need to buy, and sometimes it's something we don't need immediately, sometimes it's something we need really quickly. And it used to be that at best, if you went online to order something other than maybe pizza, if you went to Amazon or Walmart.com or Target.com or Best Buy or wherever, you'd go on and you'd be really happy if it said it would ship in 2 to 3 days. Then the advent of Amazon Prime came and it would ship in 2 days. Those of us here in the Midwest started to get jealous for those of you on the coast that had the one-day delivery. You could order and the next day would show up and you didn't have to pay anything extra to do it. That was something really special for a long time, wasn't it? The idea that you could pay extra for shipping and it would arrive really quickly. Now that seems slow. It's impressive if it shows up within a few hours. And how often is it that you're browsing through a page of items, something that you need, and you scroll down the list and there's some that say a date that it can arrive, and you think, I'm not even going to look at those. I'm going to look at the ones that say can arrive by 10 a.m. the next morning. And you go to the checkout page on Amazon, and there's even the choice, do you want to arrive between 4 and 9 a.m., or do you want between 9 and 11 a.m.? You can pick what time the next day it's going to arrive, or sometimes even the same day, arrives by 5 p.m. or 10 p.m. And we start to think, well, if it can't arrive by then, do I even really want it? There have been plenty of times where I'll keep digging until I can find something that will arrive as quickly as possible, far faster than I ever would have imagined even a few years ago, and I'll skip something that would have been considered fast in its arrival time not that long ago. Now, then you run into the item that you need, and there aren't a bunch of alternatives, and that item can only arrive in 2 to 4 weeks or even longer, and you think, well, I really need this, but is there something else I could get instead? Because that's a long time to wait. I don't know. And there have been times where I've been shopping for something and I find that item. Maybe it's something to make this live stream work better. Seems like specialty parts are more likely to fall into that category. And so you run into that and you think, well, I'm going to think about it a little longer. It's not going to arrive for 4 weeks anyway. There's no reason to rush. If that little clock were ticking down and it said I could order it and have it here by 10 p.m., I would have already hit the order button. But since it can't be here for 4 weeks, I'll wait. And then I wait a whole nother week or 2 weeks, and suddenly it's still 4 weeks out, but now I'm talking about a total of 6 weeks of wait. When we talk about God's wisdom, sometimes we look at God's wisdom and we think it says we'll ship in 4 years or 8 years or 10 years or a lifetime. And so we say, well, you know, I'm going to wait to click on that button. What we find, though, when we turn to Proverbs 4 is that every bit of God's wisdom is right there in front of us, and it's the sort of wisdom that we can click on and arrives the same day. God wants us to know his wisdom is there right now, right there, right in front of us. We don't have to click, we just have to open up the Bible. So let's go ahead and turn to Proverbs 4 and read some instruction about his wisdom. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 5 through verse 9. Let's go ahead and take a look at that. Get wisdom, get insight. Do not forget, do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will keep you. Love her, and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom, and whatever you get insight. Prize her greatly, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a graceful garland. She will bestow on you a beautiful crown. Notice how this particular proverb starts. And this is part of a chapter in which we have a father instructing his son, but he refers back to Lady Wisdom, our figure we're following through Proverbs this summer. And as he does, he starts with this very straightforward instruction: get wisdom, get insight. Well, that sounds good, but we often say, if someone says, "Well, go get such and such," well, where do I get it? Well, thankfully, on this case, in this instance, we know where to get it. We go to God's word, because God is the source of wisdom. So if we understand that concept of Proverbs, that wisdom comes from God, when this father instructs his son, get wisdom, he's saying, turn to the Lord, hear what he has to say. If we go on and we look at verse 7 once again, let's just take a look at this particular verse in isolation. It says, the beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom, and whatever you get insight. So verse 5, we had get wisdom, get insight. Then we're told, well, what does the beginning of wisdom look like? It almost seems like the father's forgotten what he's already told his son, because he says, get wisdom, and whatever you get insight. We've already heard that, haven't we? But notice here he's saying the beginning of wisdom is getting it. And that might seem sort of circular, but when we're talking about God's wisdom, it makes perfect sense, because what we really need to do is simply start wanting it. We have to start coming to his word. We have to start coming to him in prayer and asking him for wisdom. It's not a process where we have to know every single page of scripture before we can have his wisdom. It's not where we need to know where every verse is located before we can have wisdom. If you are new to the Bible and you're thinking, well, I know some friends and someone can name off a topic and they can name exactly where it is in scripture and they just turn to it and they know the order of the books, and unless I'm using my computer, I can't find anything, because I start looking and where's the Old Testament? Where's the New Testament? I don't know. If that's you and you think, well, then I can't have wisdom, what we need to understand he's saying here is it's not about having everything down. And for those of us that do know the order of the books and do know the verses, maybe we can come to any major topic and pull up in our head where it is and flip over to it. Maybe we can do that. It doesn't necessarily mean we have wisdom. It depends what we're doing with that information. Are we using it to come into God's word? And so if we understand that the start of wisdom, that the thing we're being commanded to do is to recognize that we need God's wisdom, it suddenly changes the whole process of obtaining it. It changes our sense of when we can have it, because if wisdom is knowing where everything is, being able to get to it faster than anyone else in a Bible study, that sort of thing, well, then yes, it's going to take years and years before we truly have wisdom. But if wisdom is knowing that we need God's word, you can know that right now for the very first time and have the beginning of wisdom. That is wisdom. I like what Derek Kidner says about obtaining wisdom. He says, what it takes is not brains or opportunity, but decision. Do you want it? Come and get it. That's essentially what the father is saying to his son here, as he's reflecting on the fact that his son should seek after Lady Wisdom, that he should chase after her for all his life. What he's saying is, don't get caught up in other things, and don't get caught up in how to become wise. Just do it. We don't need to buy a certain brand of sneakers to just do it. We just do it with wisdom. We go and chase after it. We hold on to it. And God will do the rest. Maybe not far in the time range from when this was authored, a few centuries later, Socrates said that wisdom was knowing what you don't know. And in some sense, the Proverbs are referring to a very similar concept. If we know what we don't know, that helps us, that guards us. And if we know that what we need to know is right here in God's word, there's how we go from not knowing to knowing. But the key thing is knowing where it's coming from, and that we need God's wisdom. Are we putting off learning about God's wisdom? Are we putting off Bible study? Are we putting off spending time alone and with others in God's word because we think, well, I'm not going to measure up anyway? Or maybe I just need to listen to what someone else says because I'm never going to be wise like the Bible talks about. This father, as he speaks to his son, is saying, don't do that. And we shouldn't do that either. None of us should say, I can't be wise. Now, if we say, well, I am wise, I've opened up the Bible, now I'm wise, that might not be such a good thing either, because now we're just becoming prideful. But if we understand that wisdom is soaking up God's wisdom rather than our own, soaking up God's insight, not our own, that it's God's achievements, not our own, we can be immersed in that wisdom even today. It's a great day to start. Start with the first unofficial day of summer, dig into God's word over the summer, and watch as you experience God's wisdom. Let me show you a picture. Here is a picture of a famous house. And if you recognize it, I'd love to see in the comments, you can tell me what the name of that house is. But if you don't, I know the name of it, I bet you still recognize it because this isn't just any house. This house is known as the Falling Water House. It's perhaps the most famous house ever designed by Frank Lloyd Wright, the famous 20th century architect. And he was hired by Edgar Kaufman to design this house in 1934, very end of 1934. This wealthy man had bought this plot of land. He wanted a house on it, and he wanted this famed architect to design the house. And so he was so excited about it, but he knew it would take time. And apparently, he gave Wright 9 months before he inquired much about it. Wright had said he had it all in process, it was all being done. And so Kaufman calls him up on September 22nd, 1935, and says, I'm in the region, I'm driving in, I will be there in a couple hours. I can't wait to see the designs for the house. Which would have been great, except for one little detail, which was that Wright hadn't actually drawn anything out at all yet. And so the story goes that Wright's associates are sitting around him as he's calmly eating breakfast, wondering what in the world, how this is going to come together. Wright goes in and sketches out a house, and Kaufman arrives 2 hours later and sees this beautiful design, none the wiser to what had happened. Wright had been putting it off. Now, he claimed that he had it in his head. Perhaps he did. Perhaps he was just a genius that was able to sketch it out in a moment. But he'd been putting off having this down. And imagine, for example, that Kaufman had called on a day that Wright wasn't feeling well, and he called up and said, can I come by and get the designs? And Wright had said, well, I'm sick in bed. And he'd say, well, no problem. You've been working on them for months. Just have your associate hand me whatever you have. Imagine if something like that had happened. Now, Wright, in his genius, was able to sketch it out in a couple of hours. Since he had a call, he didn't just have a knock on the door. He knew that this was coming. It wasn't a lot of notice, but he had the opportunity to do something. Here's the problem for us. We act like we're Frank Lloyd Wright. We act like we're geniuses, and so we'll just put off dealing with God's wisdom. If God calls and says he's coming over to take a look at our sketches, we'll go ahead and do a little brush up and we'll be okay. Problem is, we're not ready for the various situations that come up over and over again every day in life unexpectedly, and we're not really doing anything oftentimes to prepare ourselves for that ultimate call that comes in the moment. We don't know it's coming necessarily. Oftentimes, we have no idea it's coming when our life is over. Are we preparing? Are we ready, or are we just thinking, well, someday I'll get around to putting down those sketches and counting on us ourselves being like Frank Lloyd Wright, able to just put it down in the moment and counting on God giving us enough warning to do so. Here's the thing, though. God has already called us. He doesn't call us 2 hours ahead of time. He calls us a lifetime ahead of time. He says, here, have my word. It's right here. And I'll even do better than that. I'll give you my spirit who will help you. He will walk you through the scriptures and help you to understand it. I'll give you my church and the people in it who will help you to understand my wisdom. The choice is, are we going to actually calmly go to his word and start seeing that being sketched out in our lives, or are we going to just diddle daddle around and hope that we get another warning at some point where we really need it. And we're doing ourselves a disservice because God's wisdom isn't just something to pass a final exam at the end of life. God's wisdom is the owner's manual of life, the instructions on how we live as ones created by the one who wrote this book. What are we doing? Maybe you say, I'm really busy with my career. I'm so packed with time right now. I don't have time for God's word. I don't have time to spend time talking to God's people. I'll wait for retirement. When I retire, I'm going to retire a little bit early. I've been saving up money. I'll go on a few trips, but then I'm going to actually deal with God's word. Maybe even as I travel, I'm going to go do some missions work because I'll be digging into God's word. I can share it with other people. Or maybe you say, well, right now I'm busy and I don't know how to make heads or tails of a lot of the stuff in scripture. So a few years from now, it's going to slow down a bit and I'll take some classes and I'll understand the Bible better. What's our excuse? How do we put off getting to God's word and we're waiting to put those sketches to paper? We don't know when that call is going to come, and we don't know when the daily calls of life are going to come. God's word addresses. What are we doing? Now, if you're listening tonight, more than likely you are digging into God's word, but perhaps you're just scrolling and you're not even sure why you're watching. And if that's the case for you, then I think maybe, just maybe, the reason you're scrolling through tonight and you're watching is that God wants you to hear this. It's a great time right now to start digging into His Word. And all of us, even if we do dig into His Word, could use encouragement to do it more so. It wasn't like Frank Lloyd Wright had stopped designing any homes during that 9 month period. He was still keeping busy. We keep plenty busy, and sometimes even reading parts of God's Word, but are we really giving ourselves enough opportunity to soak it in? To be transformed by it. God has given us all this wisdom. It's right there for us. We can pull it up any place. All of us have our phones nowadays, and we can have our Bible app on it. We can literally pull up His Word anywhere we go. Is that what we do? Is that what I do? It's challenging, isn't it? Notice what David challenges his son Solomon to do. He wants to give Solomon some parting words of advice as David recognizes he is dying, and this is what David says in 1 Kings chapter 2. It says, when David's time to die drew near, he commanded Solomon his son, saying, I am about to go the way of all the earth. Be strong and show yourself a man. And keep the charge of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and keeping his statutes, his commandments, his rules, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do, and wherever you turn, that the Lord may establish his word that he spoke concerning me, saying, if your sons pay close attention to their way, to walk before me in faithfulness with all their heart and with all their soul, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. Notice David doesn't have much time left. What does he say is the thing that Solomon should do? He tells Solomon to be a man. And we can go online and find all kinds of people saying how you should be a man. But what does David say it looks like to be a man? To follow the word of the Lord. That's not how most of the advice goes these days, is it? And whether you turn to the right or the left, there's different advice on what looking like a man should look like or looking what a woman should look like. And here's the thing. In either case, David would say the same thing if it were going to be a daughter inheriting the throne. Listen to God's commands. That's what we should do. That's how we fulfill how we truly do what's pleasing to God. Doesn't always seem to be getting us ahead in the moment in the world. That's what truly realizing our human potential looks like. That's what wisdom looks like. If we all did that, if only, right? If we all did that, imagine how different the world would be. Imagine how different God's church would be if we were more concerned with what David says there about being a man. If we heard Christian speakers today saying, be a man, spend more time in God's word, doing what God's word says, loving your neighbor, loving God, being faithful and merciful and gracious, if that's the sort of thing that we were doing. For a little while, at least, Solomon holds on to this. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 8, it says, and your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people, too many to be numbered or counted for the multitude. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind. To govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil, for who is able to govern this your great people? It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. So Context here. Solomon is prompted by God in a dream, ask for something. I will give you whatever you ask for. And Solomon could ask for all kinds of things, and the logical thing if you're king would be to ask for great power or great wealth, great success, maybe a long life. But what does Solomon say? Give me wisdom. He recognizes that God has given him a particular calling to lead God's people, and he asks God for wisdom to do it. And so there are different things we know Solomon for, but what's the thing that we immediately think? If I said, give me a word that you think of when I say Solomon, the word that most of us would probably say would be wisdom. That's what we think of, because God made Solomon exceedingly wise. What a beautiful request. Imagine if God said to you, what would you like? I'll give you anything that you want. Just name it off. What would you say? What would be your request? Would it be wisdom? Well, when we look at Proverbs chapter 4 in this instruction here, and he says in verse 7, the beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom. That should be our impulse. If only that were always our impulse. And here's the thing, we don't need God to come to us in a dream and say, what would you like? And we say, give me wisdom, please. We can just open up his word right now, today, and God is already there willing to do it for us. Once we start to seek after it, though, there's another key thing, and that's that we don't forget that we want it. Take a look at verse 6 again. It says, do not forsake her, and she will keep you. Love her, and she will guard you. Here's the problem. We often start off wanting God's wisdom. Most people, as they start to believe some of what the Bible says, maybe they say, I want to follow Jesus as my Lord and Savior. They say, well, I'd like to know what's in his word. And many of us have gone through maybe one or more phases in life where we can't wait to read things in his word because we want to understand what God is doing. And we think, well, why isn't everyone else doing that? Why isn't everyone digging into his word? And so we start to read it regularly, and then other things happen. We're so excited, but we lose that excitement. We were so ready to grasp God's wisdom, but we let go. That's exactly what we see in Solomon's life. If we turn later in his life, in 1 Kings chapter 11, we read in verse 4, it says, for when Solomon was old, his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not wholly true to the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. So Solomon did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and did not wholly follow the Lord as David his father had done. Solomon built a high place for Shamash, the abomination of Moab, and for Moloch, the abomination of the Ammonites, on the mountain east of Jerusalem, and so did he for all his foreign wives, who made offerings and sacrifice to their gods. What do we see here? Solomon seeks after other things, whether it's his many wives. Another thing he's famous for is how many wives he had, or maybe the political alliances behind those marriages, because we're told at least some of those marriages were very clearly arranged for political purposes. For example, he married the daughter of the Pharaoh of Egypt because he was forming a political alliance. We read about these things and we see that Solomon is caught up chasing after different prizes, but not doing what we read here, the call to prize wisdom, God's wisdom, most highly. How do we avoid the same? Well, we prize her. Verse 8, prize her highly and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a graceful garland. She will bestow on you a beautiful crown. What are we told? We just need to keep holding on to the wisdom of God. We can't forget that the prize is God and his wisdom and his love and everything that we find contained in that wisdom, which brings us back to God. It's a virtuous cycle. As we seek God's wisdom, we seek after God. And as we seek after God, we receive his wisdom. Solomon had so much wisdom, and yet, even in that, perhaps because he was so wise, he started to look after other things. He maybe thought he had all solved. He knew how to keep the Lord happy. He could go ahead and build some temples to other goddesses and gods, because then he could form more political alliances, he could have more wives, he could do all these things that he thought were going to make him happy. They would be the prize in his life. And he'd missed what was truly rich and wonderful in God's wisdom. How sad is it that this man who was as wise as any man who has ever lived other than Jesus, this incredibly wise man, how sad it is that perhaps the other thing you may have thought of when I said Solomon was how he strayed away. How his life doesn't end with the beautiful story of his faithfulness to the Lord, but rather his unfaithfulness. That in seeking after other prizes, what does he do? He leaves a legacy of unfaithfulness, that the kingdom will be split, that his descendants will be frequently unfaithful and ultimately be exiled. He sets a very, very bad precedent, all because he didn't prize the right thing. And it's not something I suspect Solomon did intentionally at first. He didn't say, well, I'm going to ask God for this spectacular request of wisdom. I'm going to ask him for the right thing. And that way, as soon as I get that, then I can start frittering away at it. And soon I can worship other gods. And soon I can chase after things that aren't of God. And soon I'll be known as a king who wasn't faithful like my father. I don't think that's how Solomon was thinking. It just happened in little dribs and drabs. Maybe some good intentions along the way. He maybe thought, well, you know, wisdom is forming alliances and having a peaceable kingdom. And if I marry this daughter of the king next door and we form this political alliance, it'll be better for the nation. But she's not happy because all we can do is worship the Lord. And I don't want her to be unhappy. So I'll just build this little temple. It won't hurt that much. And the next thing you know, Solomon's actually worshiping at the altar of false gods and encouraging the people of Israel to do the same. I don't think it happened immediately. And it doesn't happen immediately when we grasp onto wisdom and then forget how much we actually want God's wisdom. We need to keep coming back. We need to chase after her every single day of our lives, not just for a little while, not just until we start to think we have something down about her. Lady Wisdom is a goal for all of life because God's wisdom is so much richer than anything we could achieve. And yet we let go. Here we are on Memorial Day, and today, as we celebrate Memorial Day, what are you celebrating? What are you doing today? Maybe you're doing some barbecue, maybe you went boating, maybe you're out for a nice walk, maybe you're just enjoying the day off work. But do we remember what Memorial Day is actually meant to be? A day to remember fallen soldiers who fought for the freedoms that we enjoy. It's interesting that for the first 100 plus years of Memorial Day, Memorial Day took place every year on the same day of the year, like many holidays. It took place on May 30th. But then in 1970, Congress had a great idea, and you can see exactly why they'd want to do it. What if they moved it to the last Monday of May? That way, every year, everyone would get a three-day weekend. It'd be fantastic. And if you presented that plan in 1970, I'd imagine many people thought, well, that will mean people can spend more time reflecting on the service of those who are fallen, comforting the families that are mourning the fallen soldiers, reflecting on the value of freedom, all these sorts of things. But what did it really do? What did moving Memorial Day to a movable holiday that turns into a three-day weekend do? It meant that we went on more vacations over Memorial Day weekend. We planned more parties over Memorial Day weekend. Those aren't bad things, but it notably changed the character of the day and its purpose. A couple decades ago, in fact, the VFW advocated for moving it back to May 30th, dropping that end of May weekend holiday, even though they obviously, the VFW very much honors Memorial Day in its nature, because they said by turning it into an extended holiday weekend, it tempts us all the more not to actually remember what it was about. It's not the solemn day it was meant to be. You see how that happened? I don't think anyone at the time was thinking we're going to try to corrupt Memorial Day and make it less meaningful, less about what it was really meant to be about. It just happened in little dribs and drabs, exactly as how we let go of God's wisdom. How are we taking God's wisdom, using it to get a three-day weekend, and thinking that's going to make us actually maybe even more faithful to it, to hang on to God's wisdom even better, and yet, just like Solomon, soon we've departed from it. God's wisdom is right there in front of us, and that is what this passage is telling us, that it's right there for us to grasp. Lady Wisdom is calling to us over and over again. May we not wait until someone says they're coming to pick up the drawings? May we be ready every single day, ready to apply God's wisdom in this moment, because it's right there in front of us, and to enjoy it and embrace it and to grow in it until the day that God calls us into his presence. Would you pray with me, please? Father, thank you for placing your wisdom right there in front of us, that every single moment, there's never a moment that wisdom is far away. It's on pre-order. It's on back order. That we have to wait for it to be delivered. It's right there in front of us every single day. And Lord, would you help us never to forget that, never to just see it as a means to an end, never to start to chase after it and then get bored and chase after other things. Would you give us hearts that constantly yearn for your wisdom, for more of it, to understand the value of it, and to understand that the beginning of it is simply coming and looking for it in your word. That the beginning of wisdom is to simply seek after you. And if someone here tonight hasn't ever sought after you, Lord, I pray that he or she would know that the beginning of that wisdom can be tonight simply saying that he or she wants Jesus to be Lord and Savior in that person's life. And that all of us, that we would continue to say that and continue to enjoy the peace that comes in being in your fellowship and in your presence. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I hope this encouraged you on this holiday evening. I'm so glad to get to share this night with you, and I hope that you will likewise share this video with others. Hit the share button right now. You can do so on your favorite social media platform. It makes all the difference when you do, so please do share. It's not just a meaningless thing. How do we get God's wisdom out? We share it with those around us, our friends, our family. Maybe email this to somebody and say, you know, I know you've been putting off studying God's word because you don't think you can know everything, but that's not where wisdom begins. Wisdom begins in simply wanting to get it. Well, we're going to continue that exploration of wisdom and what Lady Wisdom has to say to us in the book of Proverbs next week as we jump to Proverbs 8. I do hope you'll join me next week for that. It will be, of course, encouraging because God's word is there to encourage us. This is the loving God of the universe, the creator of the whole world, whose wisdom is there for us, ready right now. One of the ways that we share in God's wisdom and encouragement is we pray for one another. And if there's any way I can be praying for you today, feel free to shoot me a text at our Little Hills texting line on screen or leave a comment in the comments below. It is wonderful to hear from you and to have the joy of praying for you. I hope you have a wonderful and blessed rest of your holiday and your week, and I'll see you again here very soon.